We're in the third and last week of a series called Listen, Love, and Lead. We've been talking about how to take the message of Jesus Christ and live it out in a world that desperately needs to hear it in a way that people can hear and understand. Compassionately, we reach out first and we listen. So often I want to talk first, but the first step is to listen. Then it's always good to follow up with love, loving action. But love means something specific in Jesus Christ. Jesus introduced a new kind of love into the world. It's called agape. It's not self-serving. It serves other people first, and it gives and it gives and it gives. And today, I want to follow that up and finish this series with a talk about leading. How you listen, then you love, then you lead. And you lead in a world that needs people to step into the gap and lead. But I can't think of a better day to celebrate spiritual leadership than Mother's Day. Because if moms do anything, they lead. And the team thought, that it would be really good to kind of introduce this talk with just a quick little look at all the ways that mothers lead. Check this out.
Come on, Billy, dig deep.
A lot of fun. And pure genius.
Mom, where's my phone?
Table.
Keys.
Bedroom.
Dragon Man.
Under the couch between the monkey and the flip-flop.
How does she do that?
I like the PB&J assembly line. That's the coolest thing. And then the torch, that's awesome. Well, moms do lead. And I think it's a good connection to Jesus because if you haven't thought about it this way, there isn't a time in Jesus' life where Mary is not present. A young girl, and God shows up in a message given to her through an angel, and the angel says, God picked you to do what? To carry the baby, the Son of the living God. And Mary says, okay. And for 9 months carries Jesus, and then through that strange, yes, we've made it wonderful, we celebrated at Christmas, but for her it was traumatic riding all those miles on a donkey and all of that, and then being chased into Egypt. And she's with Jesus throughout all the crucial times in his life when he gets lost in the temple. And then later when he enters ministry at 30 years old, they show up at a wedding party and the wedding party runs out of wine. And Jesus' mother says to him, can you help? And he's like, Mom. And he ends up helping. And sure enough, she is there through all the major points, the transfiguration and the calling of the disciples and the feeding of the 5,000. And she is there at the foot of the cross, seeing what no mother should have to witness. And one of the last things Jesus does is he says to his friend John, John, behold your mother, mother, behold your son, to take care of his mom when he's gone. So Mary, a mother, had a deep impact on Jesus. He learned what he learned about the spiritual life, about God, about faith from his mom. That should not be lost on any of us. So let's talk this morning about the way that we can move and live in the world as spiritual leaders, taking a cue from Mary, taking a cue from Jesus. In Matthew's gospel, the 9th chapter, Jesus has been teaching for probably a year, maybe two. He's been teaching, building a team, healing, and building these little centers of faith throughout all the villages of Judea, Galilee, and Samaria in preparation for this launch of this new community called the church. And he's been teaching and leading, and he gets in a debate with the Pharisees, and he stops, and then the scriptures pick it up this way. It says, Jesus went through all the towns and villages teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. So in the middle of his ministry season, Jesus looks around and says, you know what? The opportunity is huge. He looks at the world and said, there are gaps in leadership all over the place. The harvest, the ability to go out and proclaim the good news and enfold people into this community of the church, the community of the good news, the harvest, the opportunity has never been greater. But the shortage and the gap in people who are willing to step in and be the spiritual leaders God calls us to be has never been greater as well. And so Jesus says, listen, pray. Do everything you can to recruit more people, to bring more people in, to be spiritual leaders, to make an impact, to kick back the darkness, to make a dent in this universe. So I'd like to talk about what it looks like to lead spiritually, whether you're a mom or a dad or a student, you've been through a divorce, you're older, senior citizen, retired, on the upswing in your career, on the downswing, wherever you are, God calls you to be someone who can listen and love and lead and make an impact on this world. So I think the first thing to say right off the bat to make sure that we set the stage is that anyone who would endeavor to lead spiritually must be unconditionally related to Jesus Christ as the Lord. A lot of people know Jesus Christ as a religious guru. That's fine. A lot of people know Jesus Christ as a really cool healer. That's good. A lot of people know Jesus Christ as a famous teacher. That too is true and good. But at some point in time, every person has to be able to say, but he is Lord. I don't know what word makes sense of that concept of Lord to you. CEO, president, chairman, head person in charge of all things, sovereign king. The scriptures say that Jesus is Lord. And that puts him in a relationship of leadership to you and to me and to his mom. That means my role is to surrender and obey, to surrender and follow. Let me read what another spiritual leader had to say about this in his letter to a church at Philippi. Sometimes when you read something that someone has to say, it's helpful to know the context because the context can add a certain clarity, a certain moral authority. The Apostle Paul is writing this from a prison cell. I can't imagine thinking about other people and being on point as a pastor in the middle of my prison sentence. I would probably be worried about other things. But Paul is called to lead wherever he is. And so he writes a letter to a church that's struggling. And in it he says this, therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if there's any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if there's any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same kind of love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, being found in the appearance of a man. He humbled himself, becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus Christ, every knee will bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. It is really significant to examine your life and ask, is Jesus Lord, sovereign, over every dimension and aspect of my life? There is no place in your life that you can have an arrow pointing to it saying, God does not care about this part of my life. Your marriage, your retirement, your gifts, your talents, your money, your artistic abilities, the cul-de-sac in which you live, your vacation plans, how you raise your children, how you hang out with your friends. God cares about all of it, and Jesus is Lord over all of it. And therefore, he calls us to use all of our lives in service to him. And that's really a powerful concept. So a leader, a spiritual leader, a follower of Jesus Christ, dwells with and under Christ's absolute spiritual authority and lives that out in a way that demonstrates that in our life. That means that a person who wants to follow Jesus is kingdom-oriented. We say, how can I use my house, my retirement, my friendships, my favorite movie? How can I use my entire life in a way that draws people to Jesus Christ, that brings light to the world, that brings mercy and grace and truth into this world in a way that only I can do through my unique gifts and personality? The kingdom is first. That kind of stuff happens around Good Shepherd all the time, and it happens a lot through women's leadership, and today is a great day to point that out. I happen to be part of a ministry called Growth Groups that meets on Tuesday mornings and has every year for the last 11, 12 years. And about 7 or 8 years ago, there was a leader by the name of Kathy Krivicek. She's still here around Good Shepherd. And there were about 50 or 60 women meeting, and she said, Pastor Glenn, it's time to change. We got to do some other things. I'm not exactly sure what. And we prayed together, and we changed the way Growth Groups was done, and I became sort of a live teacher on Tuesday mornings. And that's all I do. I show up and do this. I talk. And that thing has grown like crazy because then these women go into these small groups. Well, then Kathy said, you know, it's my time to step back and it's time for another leader to be raised up. So Sheila Ringenbach and her team of Nancy Wigg and Andrea Camp stepped in. Moms, servant leaders, women, and they stepped in and they took the leadership of Growth Groups for another season. And sure enough, another 100 women started coming. And that has nothing to do with me and everything to do with the spiritual leadership of women who say, you know what, we're in. How can we advance the kingdom? All the rooms are filled. Let's figure it out because we want to reach more women. And then it was their time a couple of years ago to say, okay, it's our time to step off the leadership role, but a new season is coming. And so for the last couple of years, I've been leading with Wendy Urich and Stacy Bushman. None of these women call themselves leaders, by the way. If you ask them, are you a leader? Oh, no. Because they're humble enough to just step in and say, Lord Jesus, where can you use me? And their first question to me is not how do we solve problems, not how do we organize better, but Pastor Glenn, how can we reach more people? How can we enfold more women into the love of God and let them see that and experience that in Growth Groups every Tuesday morning? And it is a great model of leadership to me. Kingdom first, because they are submitted to the lordship of Jesus Christ. I think a second thing a spiritual leader has to have as a dynamic in our lives is that we have a clear sense of urgency. It matters. The good news matters because there's people out there who don't know the good news, or people who've heard it through a broken voice, people who have never experienced the good news of community gathered around this table, centered around the waters of baptism, being folded in the love of God in and through the community of Christ. There's a sense of urgency. Jesus said, you need to count the cost and recognize we are in a war. And it's not the kind of war that you fight with guns and those kinds of violent images. It's the kind of war you fight with a towel over your shoulder and water and bread and wine. And we go out into the world to serve. Let me just point out one particular area. I've said this before. I can't say it enough. The police commander of Naperville said to me, Glenn, The opioid crisis is real. Mental health crisis is real. The suicide crisis is real, and we cannot arrest our way out of this problem. We need the faith community. We need the faith community to step up and step in and say, we'll help. And so Good Shepherd is trying to help lead the 70 or 80, 90 other faith communities in and around Naperville to step in and say, what can we do to lower the walls of shame and admit, I got problems, I got challenges, and find resources and find help. But the urgency couldn't be greater. The urgency couldn't be greater. The stakes are high. Without you stepping in and using your gifts, your talents, there is some part of the kingdom that does not develop and unfold the way God wants it to, because he's waiting for you. Without the right leadership, teams don't get formed. Values start to erode. Resources get squandered. Leadership, spiritual leadership, focused on the lordship of Jesus Christ, could not be more needed than at any time in my life, right now. We need to get a sense of urgency, though. So it's Mother's Day, so I remember learning some urgency from my mom. I lived up on the north side, and I went to a high school, Sen High School, for a year until they decided they didn't want me to be part of that school anymore. And I just heard from a friend that during 1972, 1973, when I went to high school there, it was the most diverse high school in the United States, something like 80 different nationalities, and it was a melting pot. It was the United Nations times 100. Well, with the United Nations came some good things and some terrible things, like gangs. There was a lot of gangbanging going on in my neighborhood, and they wanted me to join. And I was about 12 or 13 years old, and these four guys were chasing me across the playground. And I'm running, whoa, no! And I'm out, and they didn't realize it, but I'm out in front of my house on the other side of the street in front of the school on these steps that lead into the school. And these guys caught me, and they had weapons, and they were serious about it. And they started to beat on me, and they had me on the ground, and all of a sudden I hear this, no! And it's my mom in her pink flippy flappy sandals in this robe, and she's running like, whoa, you will not do that to my kid. And these four gangbangers go, whew, and they take off. And my mom chased them for like two blocks till they got to a fence, and she couldn't climb the fence with her fuzzy slippers on. Friends, there's a time for urgency. There's a time to move. There's a time to get busy and lead, and now is that time. Are you ready to step in and follow Jesus? What is the speed of your love? Somebody in your life needs you to listen and to love and then lead them to healing and to hope. And you are the one. What a privilege and an honor. I think a third dynamic of spiritual leadership is that leaders have a clear commitment to mold and pattern and shape our lives after Jesus Christ, to let his life be our model. If he is Lord and he is the master servant, then I can do no better than to say, I want my life to reflect his life. I want to love what he loves. I want to weep when he weeps. I want to laugh when he laughs. I want to move when he moves. I want to be like Jesus Christ. What a powerful thing. Scripture says that we shouldn't be shaped by all the values and junk and weirdness of this world, but rather that our minds should be transformed, Apostle Paul said in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, that our minds should be transformed by the renewing of the Spirit so that we can come to know the perfect will of God. Everyone in this room is shaped and formatted by hundreds of different forces in our world. And unless we're intentional to say, but wait, I want to be like Jesus. What are the practices that Jesus went through? Jesus regularly taught and preached and led and healed, but sometimes he said, no, enough's enough. And he got in the boat and went across the lake because he needed to chill out. And he needed to meditate and pray and spend some time in the Spirit saying, Lord, show me the next step. Fill me with your power. If the Son of God needed disciplines and practices to develop the spiritual life, and I guarantee you he learned many of them from Mary, his mom, then we need those practices. I was reminded of how much we are shaped by all the big and little things in our culture just a few weeks ago when a friend, a client of mine, told me a story about going to Italy recently. Anybody in here been to Italy? Is it cool? Yes. Come on, let me hear it. Is it cool?
Yes.
Yes. Should I go?
Yes.
Add it to the bucket list, top 10? Yes. See, there you go. So I was a little weaker on that, maybe number 11. I want to go to Italy. I can't wait to see Italy. It's rich in resources and history. I mean, imagine Italy, this place, Rome, and all of that wonderful stuff. I can't wait to go. So this guy that I know took his wife and three kids. I think the kids are like 11, 9, and 7, something like that. And they were going to go to Italy for 3 weeks, and it was a dream vacation and a dream trip. And they went, and they got over there, and the guy said to me, we went out to eat a few times, and the kid said, Dad, what's wrong with the bread? What do you mean, what's wrong with the bread? Well, the crust is chewy, and the bread is like really thick. It's like real bread. Don't they have that other stuff that we get back home? And the dad looked at him like, you're in Italy. You're eating fresh Italian bread. Oh, come on, hot Italian bread, right out of the oven, little butter. Oh, my goodness, how great is that? And these kids are like, no, we want that Wonder Bread stuff from Jewel. So after 3 days of the parents listening to this complaining about the bread, the dad said, I went looking for a grocery store. And do you know what, Glenn? I couldn't find a grocery store where they had Wonder Bread. All they had was that real bread. Now think about that. The kids are so conditioned to eat junk bread that they don't know the real thing when they're sitting in front of it. And the father is so fed up after 3 days, there should be a grocery store. Actually, there should be four of them so I have a choice. Because after all, you are here to help me be a better parent. And my kids are complaining and there's no Jewel. Huh? Friends, we are shaped by the culture around us in a thousand little ways. And unless we are intentional about saying, I am going to figure out what it takes to learn the practices of Jesus, you won't do it by accident. So to be a leader who can listen and love, we have to commit to the pattern of Jesus' life. Jesus knew that there was a rhythm to this spiritual life. He could be tender and truthful. He could be fierce and faithful, merciful, filled with hope, forgiving, filled with grace, but entirely dependent on God's grace in his own life. He knew that there was a time to engage and a time to retreat, a time to work hard and a time to rest, a time to speak and a time to be silent, a time for action and a time for stillness. Jesus learned that from his mom and learned that those spiritual disciplines were necessary to live a full, abundant, integrated life of integrity. I commend it to you. We are in a month of mental health awareness. And if some of your rhythms are thrown off by maybe some indicators that you need to seek some help, this is a great month to do it, and Good Shepherd is a great place to do it. A couple of years ago, I realized that throughout my whole life, I struggle with ADD and anxiety and depression, and I actually had to go reach out for some help, and I went to this place called Linden Oaks, and they did an assessment, and I've been seeing a counselor once a week since then. Look at that, I just admitted that I need help, and the walls didn't fall down. Imagine that. Shocking, but true. 1 out of every 5 adults will wrestle with a mental health issue sometime in their life. That means there might be 1 or 2 in here, and it's okay. But if you don't get help, then it throws off the spiritual rhythms. When I have anxiety, I'm not a really good pastor. When I slide into depressive moments, I don't really want to lead with a lot of joy. And then I spill all that stuff on you. So friends, this is a time, if you need help to get in the spiritual rhythms of Jesus, whatever that looks like, Good Shepherd is a place that wants to help you. Seek help. It's a good thing. Another thing that spiritual leaders have to be willing to do is we have to be willing to risk. Eyes wide open. The world is tough and strange and crazy, but God calls us into it anyway, and it's a risk. It's a risk to reach out to somebody and say, can I pray for you? Can I walk with you on this journey? Can I help? You don't all have to be evangelists. You don't all have to be pastors. Heavens, no. But you do all have to be witnesses. To be a witness is simply to say, you know what? I know Jesus, and here's the difference Jesus makes in my life. I don't have all the answers, but here's how I walk with Jesus, and here's how it's changed my life. Friends, if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, bless you. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you are all witnesses. The question is not whether you're going to be a witness or not, it's whether or not you're going to be a good one. And we have to take risks to do that, step out of our comfort zone and say, Lord, you want me to get help? I'm going to get help. You want me to join a small group? I'm going to join a small group. You want me to be part of a spiritual force at my work, at my community, where I pray for people and love people in Jesus' name, subtly, carefully? Then, Lord, lead me, show me how to do that. Sometimes the church, collectively, as individuals, we get together, we pool our resources, our gifts, and we say, what risks can we take as a church? How can we step out of our comfort zone and do something that maybe needs to be done, but no one else is doing it? And a few years ago, there were some folks around here who said, you know, there's a real need for a spiritual component for special needs families, because special needs families have so much stuff to grapple with and to wrestle with, it just can become overwhelming. So we got a group of people together and formed a team and started this ministry called Fusion. Check out what that looks like.
Special needs went to the leadership and said, we really feel like there needs to be some support for our children. We want to make sure that they're able to participate without any boundaries. Buddy Break is a part of a national organization called Nathaniel's Hope. We have so many things for the kids to do. For a lot of our families, this is the only opportunity that they have outside of when their kids are at school and they're at work to be away from their kids. It's hard to get babysitters. It's hard to get a date night. And so this is 3 hours every month that they know that their kids are very well cared for and they can go do whatever it is they need to do.
My children were a little hesitant at first, and then the buddies came out and they introduced themselves, and it was like instant connection, and my kids ran off without even saying goodbye. And they had so many different things for my children to do, and my kids just love it.
Fusion has had a tremendous impact on my family in the sense of we have ended up receiving more from it than giving.
I usually hang out with Avery. He's just a joy to be around because he's got such a bright personality. He just like brings joy to everyone. And that's what I love about him.
Fusion is amazing. And without the families like the Anger family, who has helped us so much with not just being buddies for my children, but really truly loving on my children. The one great thing here, their younger brother, he gets to be included with his siblings. He's not separated out to be in a different room or to play with different kids. You don't know who has a disability and who doesn't, because even the children that don't have disabilities, they also have a one-on-one buddy. And so it's special for all of them, not just for the kids with special needs.
If you're considering becoming a part of Fusion, I think one of the best ways to do that is through Buddy Break. We're welcoming everybody in any capacity that they want to serve.
I think our, yes, please. I think our Fusion ministry is a great example of this series. Listen. Oh, there's a need. I hear a need. Love. in action, and then lead. Couldn't get more simple and profound than that. There's a song that we sing on a regular basis. It says, "Call me out upon the waters to the great unknown where my feet may fail. Because I'll find you in the mystery, in the ocean's deep." Where is God calling each of you to step out? Maybe you need to step out and seek some help because you're just not sure. Great. Good Shepherd's a safe place to do that. Maybe you have an idea for a ministry and you're not sure what to do with it. Talk to a pastor. That would be me. Be glad to help. Maybe you need to get connected in a small group. You've been thinking about that for a while. Do it. Maybe there's a mission, one of our 80-plus missions, international or local. You say, you know, I could do that. If not now, when? If not here, where? If not with this family, with whom? Listen, love, and lead in Jesus' name. Let's pray. Lord God, you come into our lives and call us to go deep, but you meet us there. You walk with us. You bring healing where it's needed. You bring hope where there's been cynicism. You walk with us as we take steps of faith. And you transform the world in and through our actions. Lord, there could be no greater privilege than to serve together in your body, to listen, to love, and to lead. Show us how to do that today in Jesus' strong name. Amen.